Hi, I'm Tyler.
Hi, I'm Philip, and this is the Acceptable Accuracy Podcast.
Tyler, what is acceptable accuracy to you? Why acceptable accuracy? Why do we pick the name?
So acceptable accuracy, we are empowering firearm enthusiasts, and our mission is to foster knowledge, responsibility, and camaraderie within the community. That's who we are.
That is who we are. And I actually had a funny, because I thought you were going to go into how we came up with the name.
Not even close. Accuracy.
But that's okay, because now you know exactly what you're getting into with this podcast. So acceptable accuracy is something that obviously Tyler just read is what our mission or goal is. But we shoot the range together quite frequently. And when we are shooting at target and you make some C-zone hits, you know, some D-zone hits along with your A-zones, but you know what? You still hit. Acceptable accuracy.
Exactly, because end of the day, what are you shooting at?
Paper targets.
Exactly, paper targets. You're like, a person? No, paper targets, bro. So we're shooting paper targets, but like, why do we train? Like, what are we doing? Why do we even shoot?
Yeah, and honestly, Tyler, I'm going to have you reread. We're reading this for a reason, so that we get everything very precise and accurate or acceptable. You want to go and reread that again, Tyler, real quick?
Yeah. So we are acceptable accuracy, and we are here to empower firearm enthusiasts. Our mission is to foster knowledge, responsibility, and camaraderie within the community. That's who we are. That is our mission.
That's fantastic. And on top of that, have a good time doing it.
Yeah, bro. Have fun, man.
Absolutely. So for those of you who have never met us before, obviously we're pretty good friends. We do a lot of shooting together.
I just met you, bro.
I made some assumptions here that yeah,
we actually met each other at like Walmart this afternoon. He's like, hey, bro,
let's just do a podcast.
You want to come over and just do a podcast? Like, sure. So we've known each other for 3 years.
That is true. And we do a lot of shooting together. So looking at acceptable accuracy, we kind of talked about the why, right? And kind of our mission, our goal here. But what is this Acceptable Accuracy podcast going to be about? So we kind of sat down and went over a few items that we really wanted to cover. And realistically, it's just about anything in like firearms related, but with kind of a mission and a goal. For improvement, no matter what kind of space that you're in when it comes to firearms, and for things that you may want to make improvements on or get into, we're going to kind of cover it all. So I'm going to kind of go through a few items that we want to, like, really kind of the what behind the why, right? So it's a lot of practical advice as far as it goes from, like, concealed carry to competitions. Both Tyler and I shoot multiple competitions from things that are, like, USPSA, IDPA, as well as some outlaw matches that we'll get into in
later episodes. Fun fact, I've never done IDPA, so I don't know what he's talking about.
I have done IPA in...
Like once!
I've done multiple IDPAs, including defensive pistol. Anyway, but again, we all love gear, right? Do you like gear, Tyler?
Yeah, bro.
Like gear. Do you have snacks in your gear?
I do. Inside my med pouch, I actually have high chews. It's glorious.
Fantastic. I love high chews as well, too. Along with the...
Please, you know, sponsor us, high chew.
The gear. You know, the competition and stuff. There's also, we want to do interviews with individuals who are in the space of, like, teaching concealed carry, ROs, people who compete competitively.
That's us, bro.
Shoot competitively. We're going to talk about matches. One thing we are going to not do is shy away from items that are related to firearms politics. Now, I don't think it's going to be the central focus. There's plenty of other podcasts out there that go around that. But if there's a hot topic, we're definitely going to bring it up.
Like the pistol brace brand. Pistol brace band.
Say that 5 times fast.
Pistol brace brand.
It was not being serious. That's okay. And then in general, too, you can tell we're kind of... are you a positive person, Tyler?
No.
Anyway, so we're going to talk about life. And really have a positive goal to kind of help you not only with moving forward and things that you may want to learn more about when shooting, but also like some life advice and help as well too, as well as training advice. So we're going to cover the gamut of everything's firearm related and work a lot of life into that as well too, to not only improve yourself from a firearms capacity, but also from a life capacity. So who are we, Tyler? And why are we here? No, just kidding. Who are we and why should you listen to us?
Truthfully, I don't know why you would listen to us. If you're still here like 4 or 5 minutes in or whatever we're at, you're awesome.
We appreciate you. Thank you.
We appreciate you because we're nobodies. But I do appreciate any time that you give to us. But sir, that is a great question. Who are we? Why do we even get into shooting? Like, how did you get into shooting, Philip? What got you into it?
Yeah, so we do talk about not like why should you listen to us? Realistically, why should you listen to anybody? Our goal is to be a facilitator to kind of bring the information to you and bring people who are experts in that spaces to you as well, and also using our experiences and skill sets and abilities that we've learned. So for me, I've been shooting, I think now for about 10 years. I got into it when there was a guy that I worked with who was like, hey, have you ever shot a gun before? And I was like, nope, what's a gun? And I shot Call of Duty guns, ACR, Call of Modern Warfare 2. Anyway, so.
Intervention, FMJ.
Nice. Akimbo?
No.
I thought it was the FMJ. Anyway, so okay.
No, FMJ, that's just the Full Metal Jacket. That goes right through. Okay, well, I guess we're going to take a Call of Duty detour now.
Yeah, no, we're not going down that college.
Yes, we are.
Okay, so anyway, so I started shooting about 10 years ago. I have shot in some form or another competitively for those 10 years. Started off shooting very statically in CMP because I really didn't know a lot about firearms and I used it as an ability to...
What's CMP?
Civilian Marksmanship Program.
Oh.
To learn more about like shooting statically, getting familiar with firearms, step forward into things like... defensive pistol into USPSA. I've shot some IDPA, Steel Challenge. Shot some Outlaw 3-gun matches, as well as some tactical adventure races that require more than just like shooting acumen and shooting like abilities that require also some physical tasks along with that too. We'll kind of get into more of like who I am as well too, but I want to have Tyler kind of talk about his firearms journey. And
I can wear a jersey. I'm good with that.
As long as it's baggy enough and you can still carry with it, right?
And New Jersey is the armpit of America, so. Just kidding. It's Ohio.
Wow. That's like...
I know. I just call it two states, man. No, Iowa. No. I'm just calling...
So, okay, Tyler... If you can gather yourself for our listeners. No. So how did you get into firearms and what have you done and what have you focused on? What's your, obviously mine's like very competition focused.
Yes.
What is your forte, your gun journey?
Yeah. So for me to give some background, I was born and raised in Hawaii. And for those who do not know, Hawaii is a very anti-Second Amendment state. I consider Hawaii to be even stricter with firearms than both California and New York. So Hawaii is extremely strict. So for me growing up, I viewed guns as evil. I viewed guns as like only bad guys had it. So it's funny enough because the church that I started going as a teenager had a gun store next door and I interned at that church. And I would go and clean that gun store, or at least the bathrooms, every week. And I thought, like, man, why are we renting out to these evil gun owners? I thought guns were evil. And then 2020 happened. Fast forward some time, I moved to California. And now I'm here in Michigan.
Well, you just went from, like, blue to dark blue.
Yeah, I really did. I don't know, man. Hawaii is pretty blue. You'd be surprised.
And I'll be honest, and I don't mean to interrupt you here, but I didn't realize that like Hawaii even had like gun stores. I just assumed that they were so locked down that mm-hmm. like you could go to the Target and buy a Nerf gun.
Maybe. Yeah, exactly. Maybe. Well, yeah, Hawaii is one of the few states where they can enact gun laws because they're an island. It's not like you're California where you can just drive from Arizona right next door over. And I'm not going to say anything about that, but because I know where I stand, because Second Amendment rocks. But
yeah. So anyway, you moved to California.
Yes. So I moved to California for college, and then eventually I moved here to Michigan. We can go more into that later on. But with Michigan, I had a lot of friends who shot guns, and I shot maybe a handgun and a shotgun once or twice when I moved here, but I didn't really get into it until 2020, like almost every other American did. When the riots happened, I just bought a new home, and I realized there was no way I could protect myself. They're 20 minutes away, really 10 minutes away from my house in downtown Grand Rapids. I'm seeing pictures and the aftermaths of the riots, police cars burned down, stores broken into. I'm thinking to myself, what would happen if someone broke into my house today or tomorrow? What would I be able to do to protect myself? And my answer was nothing. So from that moment, I realized I needed to be able to protect myself. And at the time, I was dating someone who I thought I was going to marry. And I thought to myself, I need to be able to protect her as well when we get married. So what am I going to do? So I was like, you know what? I'm going to go buy a gun. So I did some research. I spoke with some friends, and I came to the conclusion I wanted to buy a shotgun. So what did I get? A Mossberg Maverick 88. A Mossberg 500 cheapo. So that's what it was. It was a good first gun, but before I bought it, my buddy was like, Tyler, you buy a gun, you're never going to stop. And I said, yes, I will. Yeah, I did not stop.
Three years later.
Yeah, 3 years later. I've been shooting for 3 years, and just like Philip, I've done USPSA. I've done two tactical adventure challenges now called the Wolverine 5K here in Michigan as well. And I haven't done any IGP or any other types of competitions, but I've really enjoyed that. And my area of focus, like I enjoy competition shooting, but for me it would be more in the self-defense realm because that's my context. As a civilian, I've realized I'm called to be a protector. I want to be able to protect myself and protect those around us. And even for me, I'm actually a pastor at a church, and I have people who I serve, and I want to be able to protect them and the children of my congregation. And that's why I carry. That's why I focus on what I do, whether it's getting sub-2s and sometimes sub-1 draws from concealment. And that's what I practice. That's what I train. I enjoy competition. That's fun. But for me, it's being able to get the practical, tactical stuff. And that's something I want to get more training in and get better at. So that's really what I do, a little 10,000 foot view of my firearms experience.
So one thing that we're kind of showing here is that there's a difference in our reasoning behind why we got into firearms and our drive behind being into firearms. But there's crossover, right? A lot of things, there's crossover. When I can, I conceal carry. Now, Tyler is able to conceal carry pretty much 24/7 because his workplace allows it to, where mine does not. So I cannot, unfortunately. But there is, obviously with Tyler being 3 years in, myself being probably around 10, maybe a little more now at this point, in shooting, there's definitely a broad spectrum. And I will say that Tyler has accelerated his learning, lots of dry fire, lots of range practice, definitely faster shooter than I am.
Not as accurate though. And so, that's why it's acceptable accuracy. That's
why it's acceptable accuracy.
Speedy accuracy. I'm like Speedy Gonzalez, bro.
So that's kind of our, like, are you an Asian Speedy Gonzalez? Is that what's going on?
I'm just Mojo. I'm Asian Mojo.
You're Asian Mojo.
Even though he is Asian, which is hilarious.
Right.
I'm Asian Mojo. It's like Shaquille O'Neal saying he's Black Curry. I'm like, come on, bro. Can I say that? Yeah. Am I allowed to say that?
I mean, if he says it, I think you're allowed to
say it. I'm quoting Shaquille right now. Fair. Look it up.
So that's just kind of our background on shooting. And if you continue listening to our podcast, you'll learn more and more about the things we do and the reasons why behind them, reasons behind a lot of things, the gear that we chose, the firearms that we chose, type of training that we do, the type of competitions that we do, and the people that we know in this space. The one thing I wanted to talk about briefly as well too, before we go on to like kind of our next steps and things that we're looking forward to, is not only is this podcast about firearms, very much so about firearms, the firearms community, and growing that community, strengthening that community, and bringing in new members into this community. But there's also, we're obviously well-rounded people as well, too. So, Tyler, I know you've got some other interests outside of firearms that also encourage positive living. You kind of go into that a little bit, your hobbies that you have?
Yeah, totally. So, as Philip was talking about, firearms is definitely my main hobby or my main focus. But another area that I really focus on with my health is with working out. Like, I enjoy working out. I started working out when I was a sophomore in high school in weight training class. And I do more of the powerlifter style of working out. And that's something I enjoy but I do it because I want longevity of life. I want to be able to get to my 60s and 70s, 80s, and be able to still pick up my grandkids easily because I took care of myself. I think of how our life expectancy, a lot of people are like, dude, if I make it to 80, I'm going to be blessed. And really, it's like, the Bible talks about how our days are numbered to 120 years. How come when people break 100, it's like, that's a miracle, when we should be able to live to 120 years? The problem is we are not taking care of ourselves. So I'm not by any means like this fine specimen, the top 1% of powerlifter or bodybuilder or health, whatever you want to call it. But for me, I'm an average Joe. I'm an average guy who wants to be healthy, live a long life as I serve other people. That's something that I genuinely enjoy doing. I like working out. So what about you, Phil? What's a hobby of yours?
Well, I was going to say that you flip tractor tires with ease. And for some reason, physical competitions related to firearms inevitably always have a tire off a tractor.
They're fun,
bro. That you're going to flip. And honestly, tangent, but flipping tires is really not that difficult. I am not a nearly as physical specimen as Tyler claims not to be.
He's also like a foot taller than me. So yeah,
that's fair.
I'm 5'8". He's like 7 feet tall.
Something like that.
He's 6'4"?
6'6".
Yeah, you're almost a foot taller than me, bro.
So anyway, so for myself, I'm not in the mission work like Tyler is, but I work in IT, which, I mean, for some reason, IT people and guns are like bugs and light bulbs. For some reason, they're naturally attracted to each other. For some odd reason, so I do that. I am a father, got a spouse and a couple kids that consume a lot of my time. And additionally, some random fact that you'll probably hear brought up periodically. I was on a television show for building Lego that was on Fox. So it is a side hobby, really random, weird hobbies. But one of the things that I do focus on is, and why I got into firearms, is getting out behind. And we talked a lot about this earlier tonight too, getting out from behind the computer screen and out into nature and being outside, whether that is shooting, whether that's competitions that require you to be outside, obviously when you're shooting, and really kind of getting your mind right. Which I think kind of goes into what's like our next steps with Acceptable Accuracy. Like, what can you expect coming up in the next couple episodes from Acceptable Accuracy? And the first thing that we're going to talk about is concealed carry. And from both a practical perspective on how to conceal carry, the gear to get you there, like, I'm not going to get too much into the laws behind it, but things that have worked for us, primarily with Tyler's doing a lot of it, but also like, mentioned earlier, getting your mind right and wrapping it around like the fact that you are carrying a deadly weapon with you, and you have to be able to make those split second decisions. And if you've got other things on your mind and you don't have that sense of clarity, how are you going to be able to make those split second decisions while you're thinking about all these things? And obviously, adrenaline is a big dump into like your brain and causes you to do things that you wouldn't expect to, but we do want to focus on kind of all the aspects of concealed carry. And Tyler, I know that's kind of your space, and I don't want to get too far into it right now, but just kind of curious about your thoughts in that perspective.
With concealed carry?
Yeah, with concealed carry.
Carry every day, bro.
There you go. And then the next episode after that, we want to...
Get a good gun, get a good belt, get a good holster.
Yep.
After that's that, literally all you need to know.
After that, we want to get into, intro to, competition shooting. Where do you start? So if you're a person who has purchased a firearm, you've gone to the flat range a few times, whether it's indoors or outdoors, and you want to kind of take the next steps, right, of shooting competitively, which I truly believe is one of the only ways that you can get good stress inoculation. As a civilian, where you're under a timer, as soon as the timer goes beep, what does your brain do, right? Obviously, neither of us have been into a gunfight, so we don't know what that's like. Maybe we'll bring some people in that have been so they can talk about that experience and relate it to stress inoculation and how they are able to perform under pressure. One of the things that we do is competitive shooting, which is why we kind of got into that in the first place, was that stress inoculation. So that'll be another episode down the road that we'll cover, and then we'll cover specifics about competition shooting and what you need to do, what you need to know, and even where you need to go and look for to find matches. Spoiler alert, they're all over the place. Double spoiler alert, competition shooters are some of the greatest people that you will meet and some of the salt of the earth out there. So in closing, Tyler, and I'm going to kind of spring this on you without prepping you for this at all. Maybe I'll give you a second to think about it. But what kind of advice can you give to our listeners as we close out here?
So advice-wise, I was talking to Philip about this and a recent sermon that I preached as well, how the EPA recently came out with a study that said an average human spends 93% of their lives indoors. Yeah, that includes sleeping and being in their cars. But think about that.
Sleeping in your car?
Yeah, exactly. Sleeping. Yeah. You know what? There maybe a listener in here is listening in their car right now because they're sleeping. Because times are tough. Inflation sucks. Thanks, government. But either way, and with that study, I refuse to accept that. I don't want that to be true of my life. And I hope that's not true of your life and other people that I care about. Because yes, I enjoy things like video games, movies, TV, taking naps, and other stuff, but we need to get outside because entertainment brings relief, yes, but nature is what brings restoration. I don't care what religion or what belief you are, whatever your, I guess, belief system is, but you cannot argue with the fact that when you get out into nature, it heals you. It heals your soul. We live in a world that's hurting. Life happens, disasters, heartaches, and struggles. Our souls need it. Your heart needs it. And nature brings that healing. So get out into nature, go on a hike, go to the beach. We're in Michigan, it's fall, so we can't do that right now. Go do something, go outside, even for 10 minutes. It'll be good for you.
And with that, one of the easiest things you can do to go outside is if you're into shooting a lot, take somebody shooting that's ever been before. Have a blessed evening, and we'll see you on the next episode of Acceptable Accuracy.